Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My guest today is the incredible Arianna Huffington. Arianna is the founder of the Huffington Post, as well as a journalist, author, and CEO of Thrive. Arianna launched Thrive in 2016 as a behavioral tech company with the goal of tackling workplace burnout. Today, we talk about the importance of sleep, whether work-life balance is BS, and habits that will make you happier at home and at work. I know a lot of us are feeling burned out. A recent study found 52% of people surveyed reported feeling burned out at work. Can't you relate to this? Oh my God. If that's you, I know you'll find this conversation helpful. Enjoy. I love that you asked this ahead of time.
Yes, exactly. We are both in lingua franca sweaters. I can't see. What does yours say?
Mine says, who run the world?
Mine says onward, upward, inward.
I like that. Oh my God, I like that. And I like people who manage their time well, particularly someone who's written books about sleep. So I wouldn't have started with this, but let's talk about time and your relationship to healthy or otherwise, and how it's changed over the years, your relationship with time and how you manage it or let it go, or what you view about it, your relationship with time.
Thank you so much. First of all, I'm so happy to be here with you. I love this question because I feel that time is really the only thing that we can choose beyond the obvious and necessary things we all have to do, how to spend it. And time is our life. And the opportunity cost of everything we're doing is enormous. You know, I studied economics at Cambridge, and the only thing I remember is opportunity cost and diminishing returns.
Mm-hmm.
Opportunity cost is anytime you choose to do something, you are saying no to something else. Whether it is sleep, resting, recharging, being with people you love, anything. So that's important. The other thing is the concept of diminishing returns, which also has to do with time, because we were brought up thinking that if we work longer, we are going to be better at what we are doing. But in fact, there are diminishing returns. Working longer is not working smarter. It's not more productive or more effective.
But what if people don't work for money or aren't goal oriented? They just are people who work, meaning that's sort of a hobby too. They enjoy it. They enjoy doing something, whether it's gardening with obsession or cooking or anything that they just like researching, that a person has that personality where it's sort of always on. And no matter how many times they try to meditate or try to do what society wants them to do about that, they still are that. Is that wrong? I mean, how does someone determine what the truth is?
There's nothing wrong about any of that. I'm one of the people who absolutely loves what I'm doing. You know, I could have retired many, many times. I launched the Huffington Post at 55 and Thrive at 66 when many people retire. So I find that when I take care of myself, when I'm fully recharged, I just bring so much joy into what I'm doing.
Yes.
When I'm exhausted and depleted and burnt out, even if I'm doing my favorite thing in the world or having dinner with my favorite people, I'm depleted. So
yes.
I can't bring my full self to work.
I love that, because I think that I always say that the best ideas come between sleep and wake, and that while everybody wants to grind, I think that creativity doesn't come forth when everything's so crowded. I have to do this. I have to do that. I'm thinking about this. I'm working on this, versus just letting it breathe. It's like a wine that needs to breathe in order to reach its full potential.
Absolutely. In fact, we have so much data on that, you know, people having their best ideas in the shower or while they're fly fishing or gardening or knitting or whatever they are doing that doesn't fully engage their brain when they are not operating from that prefrontal cortex.
So you're scientific and research based. So all of that is sort of working. So how do you, because you're an expert on this. So if you're stressed out and you're overwhelmed, you feel like, wow, I'm not even doing what I'm supposed to be doing because I'm so proactive and I'm so, you know, you must be some level of a perfectionist and some level of type A to have gotten here this way. So what is your style, your work style, your attempt at balance style, all that whole genre?
Well, you know, you and I decided to wear our lingua franca sweaters, and I'm wearing the motto for my life and for Thrive on my sweater, onward, upward, inward. I'm definitely type A. I'm definitely onward and upward, and I'm definitely about results and achievement. But I have learned that life is shaped from the inside out. And for a large part of my life, I didn't pay importance to the inward part until I collapsed 2 years into building the Huffington Post and hit my head on my desk and broke my cheekbone. So I actually paid a heavy price for not including the inward. And now that I have included it, I've seen how transformational is the impact it has on life. But I'm completely a work in progress. I never have any expectation that I'm going to do this journey perfectly. And one of the things I gave up in my life is perfectionism. When I was 40, I did an exercise, which I highly recommend to everyone, which is I made a list of projects that were on my kind of vague to-do list, you know, how we think I'm going to become a good skier and I'm going to learn German and I'm going to learn to cook. And I decided that you can complete a project by dropping it. So I just dropped these projects. I realized, yes, it would be great to be a good skier, But realistically, I'm never going to put the amount of time and energy to become a good skier. So why have it at the back of my mind drawing energy?
That's interesting. I like that. It's funny because I have talked about fewer buckets full, how, you know, whether it's social engagements or work, we say yes and you put it on the calendar. It's just a pen to the paper. You don't think about it and we get drained. And so I say that I think that we have to choose the things that have an emotional, spiritual, or financial ROI. You know, what's going to give me the return on my investment? And sort of what I'd rather have four buckets full than 12, a third full, if that math is right. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather just focus on, so that's effectively what you're saying. And I love that because it means letting some things go and just focusing on only what you love or you just can't turn down for financial reasons or you have to do it, or it's giving you a philanthropic reward. I love that.
Exactly. And that's connected to your first question about time. Because mm-hmm. then suddenly you have time available and not everything is so crunched up.
Right. And do you like the nothing of the time? Just like doing nothing, not meaning you're replacing that with some other meaningful thing like yoga or meditation, but meaning like zero.
Well, I love feeling that time with walks or hikes or being with friends or breathing and meditating. And, you know, Thich Nhat Hanh, the Buddhist spiritual teacher who died recently, said it's never been easier to run away from ourselves. So because of social media and our phones, we almost never do nothing.
I know.
Like if I was having lunch with you and you're 5 minutes late, I would go to my phone.
Right.
Instead of sitting there, breathing, thinking, whatever. Like, and that's something which I'm definitely working on myself, to just take this few minutes to just be.
That is such a problem that needs to be solved because your baby sat by your phone, your baby sitting your phone. We can do so much because of the phone. I don't have an office that I go. I mean, I have I work from home. I have a separate structure that my staff works in. We call it the WeWork, but you just don't need to do any, you know, it's a crutch. It's actually, and it used to be better when we were on airplanes and you couldn't use them because you can't, it's like a hit. You take the hit, you get the Wi-Fi and you take the hit that you should probably avoid.
Yes, and that's something which we're doing a lot about at Thrive. You know, one of the six journeys that for us lead to a complete and whole life, sleep, food, movement, money, and connection. The sixth one is focus. How can we manage the onslaught mm-hmm. of news, information, notifications? And how can we set boundaries? And our philosophy is that you can only do that through micro steps, you know, tiny daily incremental steps. So we have hundreds of them. One of my favorites here is to set boundaries at night. Like pick a time, whatever time it is, that you declare this is the end of my mm-hmm. working day. This is the end of my doom scrolling the news.
Yes.
This is the end of scrolling on Instagram or TikTok. And I mark that end by turning off my phone and charging it outside my bedroom.
It's a great thing. And I've done it and I've broken it. And you're correct. That's a great one because it's so easy. And let's pretend you couldn't sleep all night. Okay, so you can't sleep. Do something else. Read.
Read physical books. I have a pile of physical books on my nightstand that have absolutely nothing to do with work. You know, novels and poetry and philosophy. And if I can't sleep, I will play one of them. And I have a small iPad that has nothing but spiritual meditation, sleep meditation.
Yes.
Nothing else, though.
Yes, because it's not going to get hooked in.
So if I want to play it, I'm not going to get hooked and start looking at my texts or my social media. And, you know, we all have a lot of willpower And I don't trust my willpower.
Right.
I don't trust myself. I'm very disciplined. You're very disciplined. I don't trust myself.
Likewise.
I don't want, it's like, it's, I feel like I'm an alcoholic. And
exactly.
If I'm an alcoholic, I can't say, oh, you know, I'm so disciplined. No, I don't want a bottle of wine in front of me.
Well, you can remove wine. You can't remove food, which you have to eat every day. And you can't remove this technology and these messages. You're right. So this is the hardest thing. I love that you just are in this space talking about this. We dabble in it. We talk about it, but you live in it. And I think it's just so helpful. And you made, you know, you've been vocal and involved in politics and women's issues. And then you're into wellness. So what are you most focused on now? And how would you, if you were sitting next to someone and they asked you what you do for a living or who you are and they didn't know, how would you describe your journey, your life, your career?
I'm 1,000% dedicated to Thrive, the company I launched in 2016 that works with dozens of companies around the world to improve the well-being and mental health of their employees. The mission statement is our goal is to end the stress and burnout epidemic. That was our mission statement in 2016, when not a lot of people talked about burnout. Now burnout has moved to the top of the agenda. And we are working with millions of employees. And I feel so blessed to be able to have an impact on so many people's lives, to be able to reduce their stress. And when you reduce stress and avoid burnout, you improve health, you improve productivity, you improve their quality of life. And among all the journeys that I mentioned earlier that are in our app and on the web and wherever people are, like if you are on Slack, we can bring them to you on Slack. If you are on Teams or WebEx, we can bring them to you there. One of my favorite features in our product is a 60-second reset. I so love that because it's based on the latest neuroscience that it takes 60 to 90 seconds to course correct from stress.
Wow, that's amazing.
So stress is unavoidable.
Right.
But cumulative stress, which is the killer, is avoidable. So bringing reset into people's lives is such a big priority for me, Bethany, because as you said earlier, you know, if you tell somebody, you know, you're stressed, take 20 minutes to meditate, they may roll their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to do it.
Right. This is digestible.
If you tell them you're stressed, can you... Our app, and incidentally, our app is not consumer-facing, so please don't look for it. Mm-hmm. But if you're in a company that has brought in Thrive, like Pfizer or Accenture or Salesforce, or dozens of others, you can download resets, hundreds of them, and they remind you to take conscious deep breaths for 60 seconds or remind yourself of what you are grateful for, which is an antidote to stress and anxiety, or simply get up and stretch. And the impact is amazing. And my favorite thing is that you can create your own personalized reset with things that give you joy.
I love this.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun.
And I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on Season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
I want to ask you about the overused term or underused term, work-life balance. And so many people are going through this with the pandemic right now. So post-pandemic or semi-post-pandemic, from both sides, from employers I'm hearing from, that they're saying, you know, I feel that in-person is very important because you're connecting, you're talking, you're not, you know, someone's not home just laying on a couch versus sitting in a structured, dressed environment. It's become, we can't unknow that you don't have to be in person to get things done. So now that's something that's out there. And I was talking to a CEO of a major company yesterday, and he said to me, you know, we have to be happy too, meaning we're so, we've gone so much in one direction to make employees happy. Like it was the Jeffrey Katzenberg, if you don't come in on Saturday, don't bother coming in on Sunday, that comment that was explosive years ago. So the pendulum has swung. And now I'm speaking to CEOs who are saying it has to work for us too. So you're trying to bend over backward to create a work-life balance, but then we don't know what's right, what's wrong, what's balance. You can't go back to what it was or the way that we came up, you and I came up in burnout nation. So where's the real line? Where's the real balance for employers and employees?
I actually don't like the term work-life balance. I think it's completely unrealistic. We use the term work-life integration, work-life harmony, work-life blend, whatever you want to use. Yeah. There's never a day or a week when you can balance work and life.
Agree.
You know, there are days, I mean, we launched a mental health pledge and over 80 companies signed it to commit not to cut down on mental health and well-being offerings. We launched it in a week with a full page ad in the New York Times. We all worked very hard. We worked weekends. Mm-hmm. We loved it. You know, we got tremendous joy from seeing it come to life. But there was no balance.
Right.
You know, then I'm going home to New York on Tuesday. I'm spending time with my daughters. That won't be balanced because
That's fair.
For a while. So that's my priority. So in terms of working from home, as you said, I love that phrase. I wrote it down, Bethany, and I'm going to use it and give credit. We cannot unknow. We cannot unknow. You know, what we know, which is you don't have to be in the office to work. We cannot unknow that. But also, we need to realize that when we are together, there is amazing stuff that happens. There mm-hmm. is that we build social capital, we collaborate. So we need to be much more intentional about building about that social capital, about finding ways to collaborate, which don't involve you have to be in the office for 5 days a week.
You're saying the same thing you said before. You're saying, how are we using that time? So when we are together, it's the same thing you were saying before. How are you using that week when you launch? How are you using the week after? So how, you know what I mean? Like the doom scrolling, the online shopping, that's just like a brain suck of your energy. That's neither building social capital with people you work with, nor laying like a vegetable relaxing, because that's what you like to do. It's just a weird purgatory of unfulfilling activity.
Exactly. And you know, you can be in the office and be scrolling Instagram and TikTok.
Yes.
It's not, if you're frustrated or resentful and you're not happy, I don't know how that is good for the employer.
Right.
I mean, I think people need to have choices. And obviously, let us just stress the fact that some people don't have choices because they need to make a living in a particular industry. And we are talking from the point of view of people who've been privileged to be able to work from home during a pandemic. The majority of people in the world have not been able to do that, Beth.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's so
and,
true.
You know, we work with Walmart. They have 2.2 million associates, as they call them. The vast majority had to go to the store every day.
Right.
So I think when we have this conversation, we need to be very cognizant of this double reality in the world.
Totally. It's an elitist conversation in a way. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's absolutely true. That's so interesting. Or people couldn't work at all and their business just is dissolved. So that's another layer. That's interesting. You undeniably love to solve problems. You like to think about the human condition. You want to do something about it. You like to take action. Do you think you'll get into politics in the future?
Oh, God, no.
God, no. Okay. Yeah, because people ask me that, and I think it sounds like a disaster. I just, because you'll be shackled and having to kiss babies all day.
No, it's never even crossed my mind. I feel truly blessed to be doing what I'm doing. I have no plans to do anything else, except I'm going to be a grandmother in August. I'm very excited about that. So I think it's so great to be able to have reached the point where I love what I'm doing. I've built a fantastic team. We doubled our team during the pandemic. I'm looking forward to meeting a lot of them that I've hired without meeting, and to continue to have a real impact on people's lives and continue to learn. I think I'm a lifelong learner like you are. So reading and talking to people who have different viewpoints on exactly what you called the human condition, mm-hmm. and especially during a time when a lot of these existential questions about what is a good life are so key, you know, because you and I talked at the time when I wrote my book, Thrive,
mm-hmm.
and the book was about redefining success to move beyond just money.
Oh, God.
Power/status to include well-being and health, to include giving, to include a sense of wonder about life. So being able to practice that and also help other people connect with that part in themselves is a real gift.
Do you have any glaring mistakes in parenting that you've had, or any regrets in being so busy? Any relationship to guilt with raising two daughters while building an empire? Because I know we all go through that. And a Wall Street Journal reporter once told me, never apologize to your kids about working, which stuck with me forever. I didn't even have a child, but for some reason it just stuck with me. And I wonder about that for you.
Absolutely. First of all, I'm really convinced that they take the baby out and they put the guilt in.
Oh, yes.
I literally have never met a working mother, myself included, who is not guilty.
Right.
I was perpetually guilty. My daughters now tease me about that. You know, I always felt I was not a good enough mother, because I had also an amazing mother, like the ultimate mother. I was always comparing myself to her. Even though, you know, I did a lot of things that I think are important if you're a working mother, that makes it clear to your children that even though you're working and working hard, they are your priority. Emotionally, my children are my priority.
I think you'll like this because we have similar thoughts about things. If you're present in each, people try to divide half. I'm calling somebody else while I'm pretending I'm with my kid, but I'm not present. I'm over in work thinking, calling the nanny, or I don't have a nanny, but whatever people are doing, versus I'm present in this. And you know, the boundaries, I'm at work and you're present for these people that you're working with, and you're present in that. And then everybody feels like they're getting what they need.
Absolutely. I think that is the key. We have a piece on our Thrive website that I love by Philip Schneider, who is the chief business officer at Google. And he wrote how he came home from a trip and he told his young children he's going to take them to the playground. And the little boy said, "Oh no, can't the babysitter take us?" And he was kind of a little crestfallen and he asked why. And the little boy said, "Because when you're in the playground, you're always on your phone."
Right.
And, you know, he wrote about it and he told me what an incredible response he got from Googlers, because he said from that moment on, when he was with his children, he was not on his phone.
That's a good second rule from today. The after 8 o'clock is digestible. And so is that not to be on your phone with your kids. I'm going to do that starting today. I'm not always, but I am sometimes. And that's a good rule. So
what
I know you have.
What did you say after 8 o'clock? You said,
well, I'm going to do after 8 o'clock. You said set the time. And I thought 8 o'clock is reasonable. And the charging outside the room. And I've done it before and it's worked and I've slept better. And I'm just, you know, like you said, we just don't have willpower. And I'm going to just implement at least that for myself.
But I want to make it clear that it doesn't have to be 8 o'clock.
Right. No. For everybody listening, it's my choice. It's my body, my choice. Right.
Everybody can choose the time. If you want it to be 11 o'clock.
Yeah,
make
exactly.
It 11 o'clock. But make it a conscious demarcation.
Exactly.
Between your phone life and your working life,
yes,
and surrendering to sleep. The truth, Bethany, is that 72% of people sleep with their phones on their nightstand or cuddled up with them, which means they're on their phone scrolling and handling things until they can't keep their eyes open.
Yes.
And then they turn off the light and they go to sleep. And very often people wake up in the middle of the night, not because they're not tired, but because their brains didn't have a chance to slow down.
I'm telling my whole staff that we have to do that. That's mandatory.
You a phone bed. You know, the only physical product that Thrive has launched is a little phone bed, a charging station that looks like a little phone bed. It has a blankie. You put your phone under the blankie. You tuck it in. You say goodnight.
I love
connect in the morning. And I don't know if your daughter has a phone yet.
Yes, I'm giving her a phone bed too. I love this. We're getting phone beds.
A phone bed for the whole family. I'm sending you one. Do you want mahogany or lightwood?
Oh, I love, my house is very like Greenwich country. So whatever you think, like dark wood. Dark wood or black?
Okay,
black is good. Mahogany.
Mahogany. And then it also teaches your child.
Yes.
Phone hygiene.
Yes.
Your phone doesn't sleep with you.
It's a phone cleanse. It's like breakfast. You have to break the fast. So you're breaking the fast. Your phone has to break the fast too. What percentage lucky do you consider yourself and what percentage smart?
Oh, I consider life being a dance between making it happen and letting it happen. I don't know what the exact percentage is, but I know 1,000% that I didn't make everything in my life happen. And that often some of the best things that happened in my life happened after very bad things in my life.
Yes.
Like my collapse that led to so many amazing things. Or the man I was in love with in London in my 20s who wouldn't marry me. He didn't want kids, he just wanted cats. That prompted me to leave London and move to New York simply to escape, you know?
Right.
You know, so many things in my life when I look back that were not my doing.
Well, those lead into the last question, which is your rose and your thorn of your career. And for you, it sounds like it might be the same. They might be the same.
Well, no question. The thorn has been what I call the obnoxious roommate living in my head.
We are so similar. The noise.
The voice of self-doubt.
The lambs screaming.
Beating myself up after a mistake. And I really had to work very hard to quieten and on many days silencing that voice. Because I find it the most depleting, exhausting, and unproductive thing anybody can do. Women have it more than men because we are perfectionists. And now, you know, I had dinner the other night with Norman Lear. He's going to be 100 years old in July.
Wow.
And he said the two most important words he wants to leave behind are over and next.
That's my fiance's like that. It happened. So what? It happened. He says it to me 50 times a day. Okay, well, it happened. That's then. This is now. Like, it's so, we're the same, but it's part of your success, though. If not, so it's a hard thing because it's your rose and your thorn. Like, part of your success is that voice, no?
No, I don't agree with that. I think it's entirely my thorn.
Okay, good.
I think now that I've been able to deal with it, and that obnoxious roommate only makes very occasional guest appearances, I feel I'm much more productive. I have more energy for things, etc. I think it's entirely my thought.
Okay, good. That's a third thing. I'm going to talk about the obnoxious roommate. I never write notes like this for myself after these, but today is a big educational day. Okay. And then I guess your rose was it the collapse?
No, my rose is that ever since I can remember, I always had a spiritual dimension to my life. Not any particular religion, but a conviction, an absolute knowing that we all have a place in us of peace, wisdom, strength, love, and that the journey of life is to keep connecting to that place in a deeper and deeper way. I always believed that. When I was 17, I went to India and studied comparative religion, and I saw that whether it's Christianity or Judaism or Zen or the Bhagavad Gita or the Tao, they all say the same thing, that this is kind of our spiritual birthright, and anything we can do to connect with that place is the most important thing in my life. And I feel very blessed that I have a kind of path to connect to that place. I'm not saying I'm living there, but I can connect to that place. It's the eye in the hurricane.
Yes.
The rose in my life.
There's a line to which all things adhere. It's an invisible line, but you know it's there, and you like gravitate back towards it when things are good, when things are bad. It's just there. I like that. That's nice because that relates to religion, to culture, to other people, probably. I love that. I could talk to you for days, and I hope we get together at some point. But I really appreciate you, and I appreciate the passion you and the quietness you put into everything. I like it. I have my notes, and I can't wait to change some of these things because I feel the same way as you. But we'll do it later, and I like it. So I appreciate you.
Amazing. Well, I loved every moment. I look forward to seeing you in New York and meeting your very lucky fiancé.
Yes. Onward, upward, inward. The inward, name of the day.
Exactly.
And who run the world, to be honest.
Yes, who absolutely. We do. Both.
Yes. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Ariana.
Thank you, Bethany.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast hosts Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.